Broadcast Network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Hello, listeners, fans, and New Jersey obsessed folks alike. Welcome to the Real Housewives of New Jersey After Show here on AfterBuzz TV, where tonight we'll be discussing Season 6, Episode 16, Reunion Part 1. I'm your host, Grant Rutter, and tonight, next to me, looking beautiful, the two lovely co-hosts tonight.
Oh, thank you. It's Megan Stecker.
And Fern Ronay.
And we are dressed up because we attended the reunion tonight.
That's right.
We're in our reunion attire.
Yep.
And Fern, I just want to give a shout out to Glam Squad, who's here dolling up all the hosts tonight. So that was fun.
Yes, that's awesome. They're like an Uber for hair and makeup. It's the greatest idea ever.
Yeah. So you can just download the app free on your phone and they'll come to you when you summon them.
Wow. That's Glam Squad on Facebook and Twitter and Glam Squad NYC on Instagram.
That's so A-list. To think I'm going out now. You can come in now.
Isn't that so fancy?
Yeah.
It's like you can literally have your own hair and makeup squad summoned and get your car with Uber. It's kind of like...
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, the future is here, people. The future is here.
Well, who needed Glam Squad tonight and who didn't? Who do you think was best dressed at the reunion?
Well, Teresa needed a bra.
What did you call her? Can we say this?
Oh. Can we say this?
Let's say it.
She called her Tits McGee.
She looked
She looked a little more endowed than usual. So I think it was something with some kind of padding inside the dress.
Yeah.
And she already has large implants that really was out of control.
Yeah. Out of control. They were hanging too low.
Melissa looked beautiful.
Melissa looked amazing. This whole season, she looked phenomenal.
I think Dina had the best hair.
Oh, I love Dina's whole look.
She must have been glam squatted.
Yes. Exactly.
Yeah. Very nice.
Teresa looked good. And I'm wondering, was that a rented dress or a dress that she owned? Because, you know, she's going to pay a lot of money to pay. I don't know if she should be going out buying a dress for one occasion.
Oh, well, she probably gets it all loaned to her.
Yeah, probably. Because her shoes were, I think they were Jimmy Choo, because I watched on Bravo TV, you know, online. They have those, extra clips, and they did Andy's, you know, his favorite shoes, and hers were Jimmy Choo. And I was like, what is she wearing, Jimmy? She's going to jail in 3 months.
Well, remember last week we said she was out wearing her men's bracelet, which is thousands of dollars.
Yeah, so she probably gets these things on loan.
She'll never get it right.
Or she just doesn't care at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, let's get into some of the discussion that went back and forth. Dina basically mentioned that, like, she doesn't think that Teresa and Joe's case was taken care of properly. She thinks that they had bad lawyers. To me, it's just, in my opinion, it's just Teresa just being ignorant and not understanding the legal system at all. That's what I thought. Do you think they were misrepresented in court?
Probably not.
Probably not. They explained everything to her. Not the brightest. I hate to say people aren't bright, but, you know, they must have explained everything, and she just did. She hears what she wants to hear. She's very immature. We've seen that. And she probably just didn't want to believe what they were telling her. So
I mean, they had all that time. The sentencing kept getting pushed, the plea agreement, and they had all this time to accept and deal and discuss.
Exactly. And she just denies the reality.
Yeah.
Well, Dina was just constantly defending Teresa this entire episode, no matter what person said anything. Dina was jumping in like, I'm her bodyguard, I'm her real best friend.
She did,
So I feel like that's what was happening here.
Yeah. Like when Teresa said, next question to Andy, which she got from some other housewife, and then Dina had a pop-up, next question. Like, she doesn't need you.
Right, right. So we had a little bit of a flashback with Dina and season one, her reunion, though she was only there for one. I thought she was there for two seasons.
She quit in season two.
Okay, yeah. All right. So she really was only there for one. Yeah. You're smart. You got that. I missed out on that one. I'm not that sharp.
Brian and I are on it.
The New Jersey Encyclopedia.
Yeah. With Dina, I'm like, all right. It's a little blurry because she never stood out to me. But she claims that she doesn't hate Danielle, which I thought was really interesting because I always thought there was such bad blood. But again, this editing, you know, Danielle didn't help things the way she went after Dina in the press and online and Twitter and blogs and all that. But Dina claims she was just annoyed by Danielle. And she also says that she basically left, you know, because she just wasn't happy how things were going and that there's no, basically she wasn't into doing the show. No big surprise there. No news, right?
No, I don't know. I thought she did hate Danielle because Danielle tried to expose that Dina had forged her ex-husband's signature to get the daughter on the show. Wasn't that?
Oh, yes, yeah. There was some sort of whole...
Like, that's a reason to hate Danielle. Yeah. Remember at the end of the first year?
But Caroline was screaming at her, and yeah. It was something to do with Lexi.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I thought it had something to do with, like reporting something to, like, custody or to, DCYF or something like that, because it was something so heinous that you wouldn't do to a child's mother or something so weird. I don't know. I mean, I'm sure our listeners have different types of insight, maybe. I mean, it's all rumors, truthfully, so we really don't know. Yeah. But, if you have some scoop... Do we ever really know what that was that Danielle orchestrated or brought up that was so hurtful at the end of the season one reunion six seasons ago?
Well, I think it was like Dina was trying to reiterate, like, well, I felt comfortable this season because I wasn't worried about what Caroline thought and what Jacqueline thought and going against them. So maybe that's what she was like. You know, it was kind of like Danielle and I had a beef because Caroline and Jacqueline were all involved and... Mm-hmm. Maybe that's what she meant.
It seems like there's a lot of toxicity around Jacqueline and Dina. I think they're almost too alike, in my opinion.
Well, definitely no one wants to admit they're wrong.
They have that in common.
Yeah, I mean, that's really holding back. I feel like Jacqueline, at least the way Dina painted it, was that Jacqueline is standing in between Dina and her family and their familial relationships.
But that's not what started. Like, I want to know what started it. Like, was it something with Ladybug? Was it something with... What was it?
Bravo tried to incite that maybe the start of it was the whole Danielle with the book at the salon from season one. I'm not really buying that that's why they have this family rift 4 or 5 years
later.
That
was probably the tip of the iceberg.
And they were fine in season two because it was still them versus Danielle. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
I'm glad they a lot of finally opened up. Like, Dina finally said a lot, which she's had her lips sealed for 4 years. So I'm finally...
Yeah. Good point.
She finally said her name. Yeah. She said, I cannot, you know... have a relationship with Jacqueline.
Right.
Yeah, I gained a little bit more insight, especially with Caroline and basically how they just have they butt heads, but she still loves her. She would even do a show with her, a cooking show.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Caroline's show is not doing so. Manzoed with Children's already done, so I don't know if she wants to hook up with her.
That was more like a test run. I feel like that should have ran like during the August month, you know? That's kind of where they like test the audience. Like, you know, it's not like prime time or anything for network, so weird. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I just don't think that they have any relationship. I can't imagine them doing anything together. Mm-hmm. Now, what I found the most fascinating, we'll jump forward a little bit, was about this graduation party that Dina claims she invited everybody to. Everybody was invited and nobody came that she, you know, was on the outs with.
That's hurtful. I believe it, and I think it's probably... That's hurtful. Mm-hmm. They should have gone to her graduation party.
And Dina kept bringing up Lexi, how if anything hurt Lexi, that's what really hurt her. So she kept playing the Lexi card a lot. Yeah. So maybe.
And the same with the engagement party, that she that she and Lexi weren't invited to the engagement party in return and probably won't be invited to their wedding, which I think is major. Like, you know, they're going to make up someday and then it's going to be.
Yeah.
Remember Lauren's wedding? Oh, Dina wasn't there because of this stupid fight 25 years ago. Yeah. So something like that.
Well, get over it.
Yeah, I gotta say, fix it. That's what you have to do. Like, if you don't want your daughter to not be invited to events and you don't want to miss out on family milestones, fix it then. All of this back and forth, like talking over the air, being on Twitter, like, oh, we're all like lying about how good they are when they're not. Like, it's not helping anybody. It's not helping the situation.
Right.
It reminds me of the situation with Tori Spelling and her mother, where they would just fight it out on TV. And they basically never really, like, you know, you weren't going to see them sitting down at, like, Earth or some, like, you know, like, I don't know, some restaurant, you know, like the Olive Garden, like, chatting it out.
Over breadsticks.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's just, it was so public and it never really recuperated. I mean, you know, figure it out. If that's, if it's that important to you and you're that concerned for your daughter's well-being, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. I don't know, glossing
over it on Twitter, and she said, yeah, Dina had to gloss over her. She said, like, you know, I just wanted to invite them to a party and we would get over it. Well, it doesn't work that way. Get to the root of it and then get past it. Mm-hmm.
Dina claims that she has a photo of Nicholas, her nephew, on an altar in her house, which is questionable. But, I mean, I thought it was terrible that she has not made an effort to reach out to this child at all.
Yeah. Well, she did a read when she said, oh, well, the work I do, I see children hooked up to machines. And he's happy and healthy and home
running
and making
the
progress.
House.
That was a really rude statement. So, and I, you saw everyone else on all those couches jump in. Oh, no matter how, whatever's going on with the child, you should feel terrible
about
it. Yeah,
even if they have a cold.
So, no one agreed with that statement because she was trying to make it out like, oh, nothing's really wrong with
him. So you think she downplayed Nicholas's autism or he is on the spectrum.
And trying to make herself not look so bad for being at odds with his mother, basically. Like, oh, well, he's not in my life because I don't like his mother. So actually, it's okay because he's not sick in the hospital.
Right.
Yeah.
I just learned what a read was about 2 minutes ago, and that was the read.
Yeah, rather fulfilled. But yeah, I think it's terrible. I think there's very few excuses in life why you can't reach out to someone, whether the child had autism or not.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. That, like, that's, you know, the same thing with the wedding. Going to be over 25 years from now. They're all, it's going to be long gone, and she missed his whole childhood because of whatever stupid thing they were fighting about that caused it. So it's just a shame.
Yeah.
It's a shame.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is the most we've had to just say about Dina all season, so good for her.
It's really all about Dina.
Well, let's move on. My favorite comment of the evening was how Teresa has never hit below the belt in 6 seasons.
Yes, classic denial.
Till the bitter end.
Not just a river in Egypt.
Yeah, she is. She's never had anything to say. And I applaud Melissa for keeping it in, holding it to staying tight, sitting there, like composed. Because that really was something, like, she must have had to control every muscle in her body, especially her eyes, from not rolling.
So it was kind of worked in Teresa's favor that 2 days earlier she was sentenced to prison because kind of everyone held their tongue. They were feeling sorry for her.
Yeah. And I really felt bad for Melissa because Melissa was like, I can't be the girl that says, well, no, actually, you were a total biatch to me all the time.
Yeah.
Well, you go ahead and think
and,
that.
Instead, she, like, backpedaled. She's like, I'm not going to sit here going with what you're going through and say that, you know, that isn't true and that, like, you know, you definitely said hurtful things to me, but I'm just not going to say it. But you did. She was still covering herself. I would do the same.
Yeah. When they're all like, I don't want to go back in the past. I'm like,
yeah, well, Bravo does because they're playing as many flashbacks as they can.
Exactly. They should have played a good Melissa one back, like a something that Teresa said about Melissa. Like
stripper
the stripper
comment.
Thing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, they went into the vault for those clips.
Yeah. So
I mean, Teresa said some really horrible stuff at past reunions, too. Like, how have you never hit below the belt?
Yeah.
She's full of it.
She's just she just lives in another world. Her brain is not here.
No.
Her lawyers never told her she was going to jail. She's never hit below the belt. This is Teresa's reality.
I know. And, like, I love how, like, these questions keep coming up. How is her relationship with Melissa? How is her relationship with Kathy? And I can predict her answer. She's like, yeah. It's all, everything's good.
Yep, we're good.
And it's like, meanwhile, she has no eye contact with Kathy at all. Melissa is just, like, struggling to keep her composure. Rosie is like, you know, Kathy is, no one's paying attention to them at all. She isn't. And I just think it's like, yeah, all right, we're supposed to believe that everything's good. And they keep asking these questions. But that's Teresa. I mean, you know, deny it till the very end. It's like, you know, so inauthentic. You're on a reality show. And it's an insult to the people who have been supporting you for six seasons and buying your Fabellini and going to your book signings. I mean, come on, be real with it, you know?
Right, yeah.
She thinks she's the realest thing there is.
Right.
She's going to find out what real he is.
She denied everything all the way to jail.
Yep.
That's all I got to say. Mm-hmm.
She's not going to be able to walk out of jail like she walked out of the reunion.
Ooh. That was a read. Yeah.
That was a read.
There you go. So Melissa has two homes. She pretty much said that, like, yeah, my daughter grew up in a life of privilege. But I love that she said that because she owned up to it. Like, yeah, it's not like she wasn't like saying like, yeah, but you know, my daughter, like, she goes to soup kitchens and volunteers. She was like, yeah, no, my daughter grew up wealthy. You know, she grew up with, you know, basically like, you know, a life of privilege, and now she's learning. And you know, I talked to her about that, and that's fine. I think that's a good thing, as opposed to making it seem like she like was just like if Teresa was questioned about that. She'd be like, oh, she's joking. It was nothing. Like, she did say she was joking, but she also said they had a discussion about it. I think Teresa's going to sit down and discuss with Melania her actions.
Right. Yeah. She was real about it. She was. Yeah. That was a good response.
And I really like that she explained that, because I remember feeling back when we saw that air, which was, like, probably the very first episode of the season, thinking, like, oh, that was so wrong, and their kids are brats. And I remember saying to you, oh, they're repeating what their parents have been saying about this rental house.
Mm-hmm.
But when she explained it as, you know, for her it was a downsize, and in a child's mind, something's wrong financially, or a smaller house means not as good, you know, and we sat down and talked about it. Like, I'm glad she explained that.
Right.
Yeah.
So Amber was brought up. We saw her, you know, her the cancer came up, and
that
I think
was mean of the twins to pick on her about that.
They were waiting for her to say two words. They could
they
get in
were.
On her.
They couldn't
were.
Wait to pounce.
To me, that's very amateurish, and it's stupid, because you know you're sitting there for hours. You know you're going to have your opportunity. You know,
Andy's bringing it up. He's got a cue card for that in his hand.
Yeah,
like, relax.
Don't jump ahead, because then you're going to throw everything off. And it's like, at that point, like, by releasing your lying. Yeah. By doing that so soon, when you can finally get to the opportunity to do that, it's like you already put it out there. Like, you can't, you're not going to have that witty line. You already used it. Like,
right.
You know, you already used, you showed your cards way too soon.
Right.
So they're just so amateurish. I don't know how I feel about the twins still. I mean, I don't care if they come or go next season.
They had nothing. There was like nothing for them to say this whole episode, and they just, you know, were taking the chances to get their camera time.
It digs in,
yeah.
And then they made it a point to bring up that they are not one person. They are two different people. When one says something, it doesn't mean the other one said it. I mean, they're the same person. I'm sorry. I mean, that's how they've been painted.
Yeah.
They're in the opening titles together. They do all these scenes together. It is what it is.
In this episode, they were definitely one. You could have.
Right. It was, and it was weird that they were mad about being called the twins, because it's like, well, you know that Bravo painted you that way, and you share an opening title, so you can't make that argument now.
Right.
Get over
it. Too little, too late.
And they were mean about saying the cancer. Like, you have other issues with Amber. Yeah. You don't have to. Yeah.
Right. You don't need to dig on her breast cancer.
Exactly.
It's like, oh, that's our best get in there line. Like, you guys sound like idiots.
Amber did a good job being relatable and, like, bringing it home about her husband and not being, like, you know, guys, he's just such an amazing guy. Like, she was like, yeah, no, he's a great father. I love him to death. But, yeah, even we get into it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I like that. As usual, she kept it real. Amber fan here. Card carrying, it works.
No, I liked it, too.
And I liked how she said that Jim will treat you like a lady if you come at him like a lady. But if you come at him like a frat brother or, like, you know, a buffoon, he's going to treat you that way.
Mm-hmm.
And I get that. I know people who, you know, who act like that, and, you know, they take and give what they receive. And I think that's okay. You know, I'm not going to be here like a week in, a week out gym defender, but I'm going to say when I agree with something, and that's it. Yeah,
yeah,
I think it's all right.
I think they were kind of insinuating that he's abusive. I don't think he's abusing her. I don't even think he's verbally or mentally abusive. I think he's just condescending. He's like jerky, but he's not abusive.
Yeah.
He's can be a jerk, and he can be very condescending, but I don't think that he's abusing her in any way.
Right.
And I think she made that clear.
Yeah. It's kind of like someone being opinionated. It's like, you can be opinionated. They might not be the best people to be around, and you might not always click, but it doesn't mean that necessarily like an abusive, mean person.
Right.
You know, they
right.
might try to push their view on you, but it doesn't mean they're like, you know, hitting you. Come on.
Right. Like, I don't get the sense that he's calling Amber stupid at home. I don't. No. I think he calls other people stupid.
Yeah. I think we've seen that he just worships and adores her. So I don't think that's the kind of relationship they have. And I thought it was really rude of them to try to insinuate that. I think that they thought that's another card they could play.
Yeah. And that's a pretty awful insinuation.
It really was.
And I don't like them, but I don't think he's abusive. Mm-hmm. I think he's a lot of other things, but not that.
Yeah. Well, see, I find him to be so polarizing that I feel like people out there who watch this show might think that. I really do believe that people, because a lot of people jump to conclusions and things like that, and I feel like someone watching out there thinks that he's abusing her, because they did. I just think that's how people think. I mean, again, we're not really in their house. We're only getting a glimpse. So I think it was actually a good thing that came up, so she could basically be like, no, I would hit him if he came after me. Like, he knows better. Right. So it, like, really gave her an opportunity to be like, no, set the record straight. I thought it was okay.
Yeah, he seems to be mean to everyone else, but if you pictured them fighting, they have it's more talking, and, you know, I don't see him being mean to her. I just don't.
Right.
Mm-mm. But to everyone else, yes. Mm-hmm.
Now, there was a video package where we were with Rosie and Kathy and Kathy's mother around the table, and Kathy's mother made a comment about Teresa's future or about, karma or something related to that. Do you know exactly what went down at that dinner?
She said it. If you do something wrong, it catches up with you.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so that was enough for Teresa to storm off the set.
Yeah.
And it was like, okay. Was she justified to walk off the set from this comment that was probably shot about 11 months ago?
Not in my opinion.
I don't know. I think, so I'll take Teresa's side here. I think that if she's, for all she's going through, all of the stress, Esther Salas, the judge, is probably watching the show, like, she's probably thinking, like, can't you just throw me a bone, like, my family here? Like, can't you just say, like, who knows what happened, but her kids are great and she's a great mother. And, like, she shouldn't have said that, I don't think.
The aunt.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you feel
the same. I kind of felt, when I heard her say, in the bathroom when we were listening in, I did connect with her statement of, what my aunt said upset me and family doesn't act like that to me, but I just don't want to hear it and I'll go right back when they're done. I appreciated that she wasn't more dramatic than that, because usually she wants to scream and yell and fight or storm off and make a big deal about it.
Yeah.
I appreciated that she didn't fall into tears or start a screaming match, but I felt like it was something that she could have just been like, really hurt me that my aunt said that. I felt like it was directly about me. To me, family doesn't act like that.
Yeah,
I agree. I think, she was okay to walk off, and I'm glad that she didn't scream at everybody. But she doesn't want anyone to talk about her situation. But I mean, when you're doing a one-on-one and you're expected to answer these questions three different times, and you have a producer's asking you, "What do you think of Teresa's sentencing?" I mean, you're on a show. Like, she should, of all people, should know that, like, even if someone, like, whispers something, if it's related to that case, they're going to use it.
Yeah, that's true. It was Richie who asked, and he's been nasty this whole season, like he said, calling Fabellini Fellinini. Like, he's been...
I missed that.
Yeah.
Like, if I were Teresa, I'd be mad at Richie. He's the instigator, and he's been giving digs, and it's not right.
I like that Teresa does not care for Kathy. I get a kick out of it. I really do.
I feel bad for Kathy on the other end of the stick. I mean, she just... has taken a beating from Teresa the entire time she's ever been part of the show.
True. Yep.
I thought it was weird also that Dina decided to jump into this and be like, Kathy, you're a nice person, but I never talked about any of Teresa's legal problems, and you guys are all wrong for doing that. And it's like, Dina, the defender, relax.
I know. I know. She's like the watchdog of the whole thing. If anyone got near Teresa, she's going to bite. And then Melissa kind of called out Dina as well and was like, you make these comments, like, I need to say this. Like, you come at me. And I've kind of always said that. Dina doesn't fight very smart to me.
It's true. I mean, there's nothing more annoying than someone being like, I like you, but it's so annoying and rude.
Yeah.
It's like, if you're going to come at me with a nasty comment right now, let's just talk.
Yeah.
Don't come oh, you're great, but.
You like me, but insult my character real quick.
Yeah.
Thanks, friend.
I feel like I kind of understand Dina a little bit, because I think I do that constantly on this show. I'm like, I hate the Marchese's, but, except I do opposite. I hate them, but.
Well, at least don't say it to their face, Fern.
Right, and I don't hate them. Hate
you
them.
Stay up behind their back them. Like a normal person.
But I think, what I appreciate about Dina is how, okay, so she kind of has cut off her family, but she did say, like, I'm an adult, I can make these decisions, and I choose to not have, you know, that negative energy in her orbit. Yeah. I totally understand that. But then she goes on national television and calls people white trash and these other things. I'm like, her zen is not fully zened out. Like, she needs to do some work.
She whispered something to the twins about, well, this is why everyone thinks I'm a bitch, because I say what's on my mind. And it's like,
not really.
Yeah, the whole, like, zen, sweet, loving person doesn't really match up with a person who's constantly saying what's on their mind. So keep that in mind.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
So it all came back to Melissa at one point as to why she even came on the show to begin with. And then, of course, Dina used that as to kind of be like, well, this is why I don't want my family to come on. And Jacqueline opened the door when she walked on the show. And I believe that she really was irritated that if anyone taped Jacqueline, she was going to be pissed. So they grabbed Kathy, who makes no difference at all if she talks to Jacqueline. So, I mean, I think that's how it shook out. I do.
Yeah. That sounds right.
Yeah. I mean, you know, to turn it on Melissa was for, you know, come on, like, it was kind of like a cheap attack. And
she was kind of making an example out of them, like, I'll never be, you'll never see what happens with my family,
like those, with those two.
Exactly. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I was surprised Teresa didn't chime in at that point.
Yeah. Teresa was so beat down. She was like, didn't have the energy to fight back.
She really didn't.
Well, there's a lot more to this reunion to come, and while we're in the middle of it, we are preparing for what's to come. So we've kind of looked back in the archives of the reunions, and we have this little scene here that was quite a famous scene at one point, and we're going to give a little read of our own. Again, this is from the reunion from, I believe, season 4, and it's just a short little clip, but we're going to give it our own little twist because we're such super fans. So let's have it.
Okay. So Andy has just asked if Teresa thinks Caroline is a good mom, and questioning how all the Manzo kids turned out.
The role of Teresa will be
being Oh, yes.
Okay, hi. It's Megan playing Teresa.
Fern playing Caroline.
And I'm going to play Lauren and Melissa and all the other extraneous people who are useless.
And here, and 3, 2. I love, you know, I think the kids are great. The one thing I have to say is, like, they have Blackwater, but before that, like, they didn't have jobs.
They didn't work at the Brownstone. Christopher Al didn't have any jobs.
Well, I've been working since I was 14.
Lauren, don't even answer the question. You are a fool.
Caroline, look at my face.
I'm sorry. I messed up. Look at my face, because I'm going to educate you, all right? Don't do this.
Do not point at me.
Do not give me your hand, pageant girl. Let me talk to you, okay?
Look at yourself. You have 3 roles. Blubba, blubba, and blubba. Thank you.
You know what? And I effing wear 'em proud.
With a tummy tuck.
That's so wrong.
You couldn't walk for 4 months because you were hunched out.
So you had a tummy tuck.
When I was 39, I have Botox. I have no Botox. I have no fillers. I've never had a facelift. I have no lip.
You should get some.
You want to know something?
You're on TV. You should look at yourself. You really need some.
That's wrong. You don't go on people's looks.
Am I asking for your opinion?
I didn't say you asked me, but I'm giving you my opinion. You don't go on people's looks.
She started with my dress. Thank you very
much.
Well,
because you look like you're in a Christmas pageant.
Oh, my page is stuck.
You realize what you're saying to her right now is the reason why people kill themselves. Because you...
That's why you got the lap band. Why didn't you work hard?
Because of dickheads like you, Teresa. That's why.
And see.
Take that for what you will.
Yeah, our engineer's time.
A classic moment.
Yeah.
All right, let's get into some news and gossip and move on from this craziness.
AfterBuzz TV News.
Megan, our resident guru here with all the latest news. What can you tell us? Tell us something good.
Okay, so in Teresa land, of course there's been drama this week. Something new every week to chat about. So Us Weekly is reporting. Okay, so Gia is in a girl group, which we didn't know this whole time. They just debuted a music video on Halloween. The name of the girl group is 3KT. And apparently, 3KT stands for 3-carat diamonds, even though there's no letter D as in David. There's only KT. I don't understand it. So these girls decided to cover Britney Spears' song Circus from 2008. Okay. Strange, they don't have an original song. But it's three girls. There's one's 14, one's 16. G is only 13. Did this like little scandalous, like Britney Spears-esque, gyrating everywhere, here and there, in some little scanty clothes.
See, I don't know if I should be watching that.
Exactly. I felt wrong watching it.
The oldest one is what, 16? And they're in little clothes?
And apparently they have a management group. Us Weekly's reporting that... So Us Weekly gave us all the juice on the video. Radar Online decided to claim about this video that Teresa paid $10,000 for it out of her own pocket to produce this music video for the kids. E Online debates that, and they're saying a source told them that's completely false. It only cost $5,000 to make this video, and the management company they are signed with paid for it.
I hope it was not Teresa paying for
that. I don't know how you get a management company involved with this.
Let me tell you something. This is going to sound so evil, but Gia cannot sing. The other two girls, pretty decent. But yeah. Oof. She can stick to the dance. She had all the moves, but let me tell you.
I guess she's just the star vehicle.
Yeah. Right. Slap some auto-tune on it. She'll be fine.
I mean, it was auto-tune. That's the problem. Yeah.
And anyway. It still wasn't good.
Yeah. If I were Teresa's creditors, I would say they better not have spent $10,000 on this ridiculousness.
I know. Imagine them presenting that to the judge. Right. By the way, we're totally broke. I have jewelry that's worth nothing. But I spent $10,000 on a cover for my daughter's musical group.
But it came out great. You should see it.
Wretched. Okay. Next story. This is so good, you guys. So good. I can't. Okay. We talked all about Dina finally letting the world know about all her family drama. She was practically crying over it. She had to take a breath for a minute and catch herself before she cried while she was speaking about Chris. And she's so sad that Lexi isn't close with Chris, her godfather, anymore. Well, it also happens that her sister Caroline was on Watch What Happens Live because Manzoed with Children wrapped up last night. So Caroline said, I really don't want to talk about this, but I'm going to defend myself because Dina let everything fly. And that's her side of the story. Mm-hmm. So Caroline basically said, Dina told Caroline and Chris that the only way she could have a relationship again with them was to cut Jacqueline out of their lives completely. And she's like, okay, so I'm sorry. They have a special needs children, and he's supposed to leave his wife just to, like, talk to his sister again? Like, that's crazy. Yeah.
Okay, I believe it.
So that was step one. And then she also said she's lost touch with all kinds of extended family members. She hasn't come to anything in years. So all the nieces and nephew stuff that's going on, you know, the older kids that are having babies now. And she's like, you know, she's missed all kinds of engagement parties and baby dedications and christenings and things. You know, don't just act like this one graduation party and this one engagement party are everything, because she's missed out on all kinds of stuff for years. She's taken herself out of everything. Right. Then, when it came to Nicola, she said she walked right by him at some sort of party, and it completely ignored him.
Ooh.
So, not having a relationship, she's putting that on Dina.
So, sure. Dina was at a function with Nicholas and didn't hug him up and kiss him and
walked right
by
him.
She ignored her own nephew.
I mean, which said a lot to me when she kept talking about, I don't know him, there's nothing I can do for him. It's kind of like, why do you keep saying that?
Do you need to do for him? Just go buy a toy and say hello and have a...
Meet the poor innocent kid.
Yeah.
Hug him and kiss him like aunts do.
Yeah.
That's terrible.
Well, the other thing Caroline did mention was she did not invite Dina to Lauren's engagement party because she hasn't come to birthdays, christenings, whatever. So she says she finished it all off, tied it up in a bow by saying Dina needs to grow up.
Yeah.
Which I think is true. Like, you can't say, oh, it's all or nothing. Cut your wife out of your life. Mm. I mean.
Plus, I think kind of engagement parties, correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like they're a little bit more intimate than you're going to have someone that's like an estranged family member, like, be invited to. Yeah. That's more like the wedding, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, I've been to, a lot of Italians do big engagement parties where they have a cake and everything, and it's at a hall. And
Well, and that's what they would probably do, yeah. So, wow.
She said that Lauren had called Lexi the night she got engaged, like 10 minutes later, and Dina's in the background like, congratulations. But then that entire time leading up to the engagement party, like, no word from her. So why would she be invited? Mm-hmm. That's what Caroline was saying.
Yeah, weird.
Caroline blew the roof off of that argument. Yeah. I'll tell you what.
Well, I kind of believe that Dina has distanced herself from all those people because I got from her this whole season, she was like a lone wolf. She was like, mm-hmm, by herself. You know, she wasn't that worried about like mixing in or meeting new people or like getting out there really to do anything. I almost felt like she kind of had like a boring existence.
Yeah.
So I don't really, I mean, you know, it takes a lot of effort to maintain relationships, especially if you have a big family like she does. So I guess she's let Jacqueline come between her and her whole entire family.
Ten brothers and sisters.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which is like, if that's what it is, then you're allowing that to happen.
Yes, that's true.
You're allowing Jacqueline to keep you from your family because I don't think Jacqueline really cares if you have a relationship or not.
Right. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So, all right. We have two more parts coming up. Let's predict what's down the road.
And now, you're after Buzz TV.
Who's going first? Well, in my spare time when I'm watching Bravo TV online, I saw, did you see the clip for next week when Jim brings like a briefcase of evidence against Bobby?
Shut up. That includes
pictures of Bobby at Teresa's book signing, I think Melissa, somebody else's, just saying that he was such a super fan and just wanted to get on the show just for fame because he has nothing else going on in his life. And that's why he was just kept saying to them, I'm waiting for Nicole to get her contract, and then I'll see where the relationship goes.
Mm-hmm. Well, from what we've heard, that sounds like how it is. Of course, we don't have the other side to the story, so, you know, that's what we're led to believe.
Yeah.
Bobby, we'd love to hear your side of the story. Mm-hmm. Call me, Bobby.
I think that basically what's going to come up is Teresa trying to make it all about her mother, and I think she's going to look for any segue she can. So the fact that she even said to Teresa, I know you're going through a lot right now, but what's really important is what you did to my mother. And it's like, the mother didn't even know what happened to her.
The mother just shook hands with Teresa and smiled when they finally met. I know.
Supposedly, there was like a huge falling out off camera, but that's an easy thing to say. Like, oh yeah, my mother was like, she lost weight and she was really upset because no one saw that. I mean, you know, first of all, it goes back to what I said. If that was not true, then they wouldn't have been that angry about it. You wouldn't fall ill to, like, something like that. I mean, unless if you're, like, really sensitive and a rumor like that is really going to ruin you. But, I mean, you can't allow that if it's false. Come on.
I think they're just desperate for a storyline. She should thank her. She should thank Santa. Thank Teresa. Thank Victoria Gotti. She got something to talk about.
The mother needs to be on this show, on the reunion, to address it. In fact, I'm surprised they don't give her a voice because all this has been said about her. And they don't allow her to really give her side of the story at all. It directly impacts her. But who knows?
Maybe she didn't want to. I don't know. Well, last week I was trying to suss out. I thought there would be like a subdued episode, like we all feel sorry for Teresa. And then there would be like a really catty fighting episode. So maybe the claws all come out for everyone next week. It seemed like this was very subdued. Like everyone's trying to be like, oh, Teresa, your life's so awful right now. Dina with her whole like finally letting out all her family drama. So it was very quiet. I felt like quiet. Yeah. And the twins trying to fight with everybody really wasn't, it was sticking out like a sore thumb.
Yeah. And Amber was like,
Next week.
Like just chilling.
She wasn't freaking out like at all either. So I think next week will be I hope Jim brings out that briefcase and makes his case against Bobby.
I'm glad they allowed that because I thought props weren't allowed
that's what
anymore.
They said. I thought so maybe it was a folder. Maybe I exaggerated a little. It was a folder.
Oh, let him bring it. I mean,
it was just documents.
Remember when Danielle brought that mannequin head with the hair that had like the, I don't know what it was. It wasn't a weave, but it was like sewn into the scalp hair.
Trying to talk about her hair getting pulled out.
Yeah. And she made Andy pull it. Remember what I'm saying? So, I mean, you know, if they just let the man bring his props because it makes for fantastic television.
It does.
I don't even know if they're props. He probably is like, it's evidence.
As long as you're not waving it in someone's face, instigating a fight, I think you're.
Yeah. All right. Well, it sounds like there's a lot more to come, and I hope that it really heats up. I thought it was interesting that, Teresa had to walk off the set, and I predict that's probably going to happen a few more times, too. She's going through a lot right now. she had to let us know. So,
that's the tagline for the season right there.
Don't we know it, Teresa? All right, ladies, where can we find you in the world of social media?
I am on Instagram and Twitter at Megan Stecher, MEGANSTECHER.
And I am on Twitter and Facebook, FERNRONAY.
And you can find me on Twitter at Grants_Rants. And of course, we'll be back next week for a lot more discussion on The Real Housewives of New Jersey.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz, see you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.